This is a Village Soundcast Network original production.
Hello?
Hi, I'm looking for Dennis.
I think you got the wrong number.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Can we use that? Let's use that. Welcome to Turning a New Leaf, where we discuss the changing face of Canada as it prepares to legalize and regulate recreational cannabis across the country. Turning a New Leaf is produced by the Village Soundcast Network, and I'm your host, Sean King. Enjoy. So I'm talking to Dennis Selden. Dennis is a longtime friend of mine. We met in Germany when we were young kids in 1986, and we spent a lot of years together riding around that place on BMX bikes and skateboards and blowing things up and doing stuff kids do.
Yeah, you almost made me deaf a few times.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Dennis is a mechanical engineer, actually, and owner of his own private manufacturing company. Currently, he services clients in the film industry and has built everything from utensils to bike parts. Now, what is interesting about this is that when we moved back from Germany, we kept touch for a number of years, but only recently have reconnected, and oddly enough, was motivated by the podcast. And this is actually the first time Dennis and I have chatted in probably over 10 years. And we were, after a few episodes of the podcast ran, out of nowhere, I got a text from him telling me that he was listening to episode 3 and something about how weird it was to hear his good buddy in his ears while he was working. And I thought, how fucking cool is that? And so every time we released an episode, Dennis would text me and he would give me all kinds of opinions about the topic of a conversation on that particular episode. And it hit me, wow, this is a great reason to call the guy up and have him as a guest on the show, particularly because cannabis, weed, whatever you want to call it, has been a big part of Dennis's life for how long, would you say? Since what age, Dennis?
I started smoking 21, 22.
Yeah, so, and it's been a...
Yeah, I mean, I think like most average people, you maybe run into it once or twice in high school, but I never really... gravitated towards it until after I got out of college.
Yeah. So, So this, God, I don't know where to start. This is kind of cool.
I guess the reason I got into it, funny enough, one of my good buddies at the time moved out to BC, temporarily, and he came back with an ounce of weed. And, all of a sudden I found myself smoking weed with my buddy every day because he brought this weed back from BC.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, it quickly just turned into a habit. And, you know, we'd go smoke a joint and go ride. And that's kind of what we did for a long time. So that's kind of where it started for me. As I, you know, sort of got out of riding as I got older and started my own business, you know, I've had the luxury of working by myself and kind of get to break the rules a little bit and do things my way. I don't use pot all the time while I'm working, but definitely if I've got to do something that's, you know, I might be a little bit of a boring task, something I've got to do 100 or 200 times because I run a machine shop. I'm like, hey, I'm going to turn on Netflix and put on some headphones and have a little puff and, you know, the next 4 or 5 hours are going to go by a lot quicker. So for me, it's like a tool, really. That's a quick overview of kind of how I use it.
You just diving right in, eh? Like, fuck the small talk. Let's just go for it.
I guess so, man. You know, yeah. I feel it's. I'm still kind of just stoked to be talking to you. You know, like you mentioned earlier, it has been nice listening to the other episodes and kind of hearing my buddy's ear in the headphones and going, wow, this is, you know, you guys are talking about some interesting topics and we'll see where this conversation goes.
But yeah. So I there's a couple things I do want to talk to you about specifically, but I want to back up a little bit to when you talked about first starting. And, you know, some people will try this at some point. Not everyone, I guess, but some people try it and it's not for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a bad experience, yes. So they don't like it. I mean, I'm definitely guessing that wasn't the case for you. You tried it and liked it.
Yes, no, for sure. I've never had any sort of bad issues with, you know, there. Anybody that, you know, uses alcohol and marijuana will tell you that they probably mixed too much of those two things on a certain night and had a, you know, a bad night. I mean, I've definitely done that, and that's not good. Although I'm not a big drinker anyways, but no, I've never really had too many bad experiences. But, you know, another good buddy of mine, sort of what you were saying, tried it once. Had a very bad experience and never tried it again. So there's, right, you know, kind of, there's sort of two types of ways it sort of pans out for people.
And you use, so I'm going to get personal. You're okay with that. And if I'm not, just, yeah, if you're not, just, you know, you can tell me off limits, man. Call me later. But you use fairly regularly, would you say?
Yeah, I smoke almost daily. Yeah, for sure.
And
it's at this point in my life, it's become something that I'm very comfortable with. I mean, there's been, I think your usage kind of reflects other things in your life. Like, you know, like anybody who's an adult, I've gone through highs and lows, tend to use it more, and use too much of it when I've been going through some lows. But now I find myself in a comfortable spot in life. Very happy, happy in my marriage, got four awesome kids, business is going great, living the dream, and I use it as a tool, and I don't think it gets in the way for me. It just sort of adds a little bit of happiness to life, so to speak.
So you talk about using it as a tool. Tell me what you mean. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's funny. Somebody who doesn't use it go, oh, typical thing an addict would say, you know. But for me, honestly, it helps me focus. Quite often, if I've got to do a couple hours of programming, like the machines I run, I run a lot of, they're CNC machines, so they I have to write computer programs for them. Sometimes I've got to sit down for hours and do that. And, you know, I'll have a puff when I do that and just sort of zone out and get into a zone with it. So for a focus tool, it also definitely helps with stress. I live a very stressful life. I've got some really high demands put on me by my clients. And, I sometimes wonder how I would, react to the stresses if I wasn't using pot. I mean,
have you ever tried,
you know, not using pot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. Well, getting back to sort of when you use it too much when you're going through some dark periods.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, probably 10 years ago when I went through a divorce, I sort of dived in and was using it a lot, smoking tons, you know, smoking a joint every couple hours and just not in a good spot. And I hit a wall with it and I stopped for almost a year.
So what, and, talk to me about that though. How do you know someone who's comfortable with it? How do you know that you've hit a wall? Like what was going on with you?
Just, you know, I was in a depression, coming out of divorce, you know, was a little bit lost in life. Wasn't sure where I was going. My business wasn't doing very well, you know, just, life took a big dive. Yeah. And, I just ended up kind of, I guess what most people do with any kind of substance that they can abuse. I just was using it too much. And I just got to a point where I realized, hey, I'm using this too much. This isn't how I used to use it. I'd have a puff every once in a while, you know, when I'm in my, you know, when I'm in a better spot.
Yeah.
And now I'm just using it too much. So, and you know, people around me too were noticing that I was kind of becoming a little bit of a recluse because of, you know, just things that are going on in my life. So I think also I had a bit of influence, you know, talking to my parents. I can't remember specifically, but they probably recommend, hey, you should cut back on the pot, Dennis, you know. That's been one of the open things too over the years. I've always been very open with my parents, you know. God bless my mother's soul. It's been something she's wished that her son doesn't partake in. It's just the way she's sort of been conditioned and grew up and was, you know, taught about it. My dad's much more open-minded, you know, so it's kind of been a balance of like being very open with my dad and letting my mom know what I'm doing, but maybe not being fully open about it just because, you know, she doesn't really agree with it. But we'll see how that changes moving forward, actually, when it becomes legal and all that. I actually talked to her about it, and I was like, well, if it becomes legal, no, I still think it's bad for you.
Yeah.
So there's just those, there's that generation, right?
Yeah. Now, but I'm still curious about, I mean, I understand that you hit a wall, like sort of in your family life and work, you were just, you're having a lull. But what was the decision to stop for a while? Did you self-realize that, or were people around you going, man, you should really cut this out? Like, I'm curious about what made you go, I should cut this out for a while.
I think I was just, I think I got a little bit of influence from my friends around me, but mostly it came internally. I just realized I'm not happy, and I'm using, and I was drinking more at that point as well. I'm just hiding my, you know, whatever the expression would be, masking your sorrows in these things, as people often do. Thankfully, I've never really got into harder drugs, you know. Thankfully, I've just never been attracted to that. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of self-regulated, I guess. I hit that wall, realized I'm tired of not being happy, got to take a break for a little while. I don't think it was, I wasn't putting all the blame on my pot usage or me drinking more at that time, on being the actual cause of it. I just realized I got to clean my head out for a little while.
Yeah.
Reset, get back on track with life, and then, you know, use these things as they should be used, for enjoyment and not relying on them. So, yeah, I mean, it has been a crutch at certain points in my life. That's why now, I feel much better about it, because, it's not really a crutch. I mean, I go, I say I use daily, but, you know, I sometimes don't smoke for a couple days in a row, and, it, you know, it sort of doesn't matter. I just use it kind of as I feel I kind of want to,
yeah.
Anyways, I feel like I'm rambling on here.
That's cool. I got, every time you have an answer, it just gives me more questions. But
sure.
What was I going to say to you? You were talking about. Oh, I got it. So I'm still on this phase of self-realization and that whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that the marijuana played a role in the way you were feeling at that time? Like, you know, I mean, before you said, oh, I better stop this, like, was it contributing in any way to, you know, the relationship or the work or whatever?
I don't think it's ever really gotten in the way of my performance with my business or my work or anything like that. That's always been very, very important to me. You know, I mean, I'm kind of living my own dream. I started my business from scratch, you know, with a tiny little machine, and now I've got, yeah, a lot of equipment and invested a lot into it. So it's very, you know, I've always made sure that none of this gets in the way of that. But I think what at that point in time, my ex put a lot of guilt on me. She had this complex of, oh, you stupid stoner, you smoke weed, all your friends are stoners, blah, blah, blah. And she was very down on me.
Yeah.
Not to get too much into my personal life, but that was definitely an influence, and I took some of that on, and I kind of, you know, you have somebody coming down on you all the time, constantly, you know, in that sort of manner, you can't help but sort of question yourself, go, well, really? I mean, maybe I should be not using this. And so I think there was a little bit of leftover guilt, and I was kind of, you know, depressed out of a long-term marriage. Business kind of went down, got slower, and just, you know, you reach these lows in life and you're kind of foggy. You're like, what's going on? So I just thought, maybe I just need to stop everything, clear my mind out, kind of have a fresh restart. So looking back now, that's kind of where I think it was coming from.
Yeah.
There definitely was a lot of guilt from my ex. She just had a bad attitude about it. She used it as a sort of way to come down on me.
Right. So,
which is unfortunate,
but
that's the way she goes.
But was the, I'm obviously just curious about this now, but was she coming, like, you know, you could look at this probably from a couple of ways, like the relationship was bad because of your marijuana use, or the relationship was bad anyway, and the marijuana use was a factor in that.
Yeah, like, no, for sure. You know what? It's nice that we're friends and we can talk this intimately, for sure, because, you know, people might be wondering, like, well, geez, maybe she left him because she was tired of this stupid pothead guy who's doing nothing with his life. Well, I really don't think it was that. Honestly, we just... we weren't meant to be together. And because of that, I think there was, I think it's a common thing with people that should have broken up years before, and they just stay together. Then there's just this giant rift that comes into the relationship, and you're like, you're this, and they're always telling you, you're that. And there's just all this negativity. That's kind of where it was coming from. We just shouldn't have been together any longer. And there was a lot of anger in the relationship. I don't think the marijuana was really, my marijuana use had much to do with, you know, me not being a good partner or anything like that. It was more, we should have broken up earlier and just skipped out all that anger that we went through for a couple of years.
Man, that sucks. Maybe we should talk about this later, but that sounds really shitty.
Well, but you know what, man? Like it's very cliche, but I'm sort of glad that happened, because now I'm living a much better life. Got a much better partner, awesome family. So it's good.
Now, tell me. By the way, I'm super glad to hear that. Tell me about that time that you stopped, and you know, you talked about clear your head and that kind of stuff. So, and again, I'm asking all this stuff because I can only imagine that as this is about to become legal, there's probably like a ton of people that are worried about this kind of thing. You know, people that are going to use you know. So what happened to you when you gave up for a year and you said, okay, I'm going to, however long it was, how did you feel? Mm-hmm. And at what point did you go, okay, I think it's okay for me to use it again. I'm going to be able to manage that better now.
Well, honestly, this is kind of bringing me back, because it was like quite a while ago. But first, it was just kind of the depression went away and I started feeling better about myself.
Yeah.
And I had to work on my self-esteem and get that brought back up, because that was just really crushed after my divorce. As you know, it's pretty commonplace. So I worked on that, and I spent a lot of time by myself, honestly, just working in my shop by myself. Just spent a lot of time by myself. Then I started hanging out with my friends more and being social with them. But I was cautious with that, because I knew I was trying to stay away from pot for a while.
Yeah.
And all my friends are daily users, you know, and it's just in the social thing. So I'm like, well, if I know I'm going to be hanging out, it's going to be around. And is that going to be hard for me to sort of, you know, am I going to jump back onto it before I sort of want to? But I just eased into it with my buddies. I can't remember specifically, but it was probably the kind of thing where, like, I just had like a little tiny puff as it was going around with my buddies, and then maybe I started smoking a little bit, and I eased back into it. But the main thing was just getting good with myself first, and then sort of realizing, okay, well, it's time to have fun again, and you can. But this is the thing. We're talking about pot and your point of, like, a lot of people out there wondering about all this stuff. The way I look at it is, well, what about the 50 other things that are in our life? I mean, I could go off the deep end, but, like, everybody's addicted to sugar. Who likes to have too many candy bars? Who likes to have, you know, what in our modern society? It's just...
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Totally.
We've talked about it on this show. I mean, because it's you know, so much about this to me is just like the unknown. Like, it's just this new thing, and there's people that just don't know that much about it, and all the fear that's been put into us, and maybe in some cases for good reason. You know, I'm trying to remain sort of objective from that point of view. You sent me a text one day, and you said something that really kind of surprised me. And it was actually the thing that kind of motivated me to have you on as a guest. And you said to me that marijuana is 100% addictive.
Well, yeah, it's sort of a double. I mean, I don't want to be two-faced about that, but I mean, it's kind of, you really have to look at the definition of addiction, I guess. I mean,
Yeah.
It's not addictive like, I guess, like, say, heroin or cocaine.
The chemical addiction.
Chemical addiction. But from a habitual sort of, I feel like it and I want to, it's kind of, I believe it is addictive in that manner. I mean, I sometimes wonder, well, it's, where's my level of self-control with things, you know, say on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, like Sean's self-control level on using substances, maybe like an 8, maybe mine's a 6,
right?
You know,
right.
It's hard to tell, but with some people for sure, it'll become that sort of,
like more habitual maybe.
Yeah, more habitual, but I don't know. I mean, so many things are addictive, I think. It's just, but as adults, we have to have the strength to kind of be able to navigate through life and not get too crazy with all these different things. So,
would you say that, what was I going to ask you? I was thinking about it. It's not addictive in the sense that you try it once and all of a sudden you're addicted, but maybe like you talk about using it as a tool to help you focus. And part of me wonders, and I don't know if you've ever asked yourself this, but if part of your routine is using this to help you get focused for work, do you feel that you can't focus as well without it? And maybe there's truth to that, but I'm just trying to, like, as you said, I'm trying to figure out what,
yeah,
the addiction is.
I would, I mean, common sense would say, yeah, I probably, but it's been a while since I haven't challenged myself and gone, well, can I sit down and do 4 hours of programming and not have a puff?
It would probably surprise people to hear now, particularly because you're a machinist, you're working with machinery and metal and drills and shit. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm like, are my clients listening to this?
Yeah, well, maybe they will be, but my point was going to be, well, I mean, I mean, if you've been hurt on the job, and I don't know if you have been. I mean, I guess my question would be, you know, there's a lot of discussion about workplace safety and impairment and all of that. How does that sit with you?
Well, you know, I'm actually just about to hire a guy because I'm busy here. And, you know, I'm having all these thoughts. I'm like, all right, well, I don't want him getting on his phone every 2 minutes, getting text messages from all his friends and getting sidetracked. This young guy that I am going to hire, I do know that he uses marijuana. I'm not going to want him coming to work high because during his training, I want him to, well, see, this is the thing. I'm starting to feel like I'm putting my foot in my mouth because I'm just about to say, I don't want my guy coming to work stoned because he's not going to be focused. And I'm telling you, I use marijuana to be
right.
focused.
Yeah.
So it's a tough thing. Like I'm a master craftsman. I've been doing this my whole adult life. I can basically do it on autopilot with blindfolded, you know, I just, you know, like you've been doing your craft for a long time. You know what you're doing. That's a tough one, I guess.
The lens you have then is that you know your limit and your abilities on it. You've been doing it long enough,
exactly.
But you don't know the other guys and if he or she knows.
That's exactly right. And I mean, at the end of the day, I've got the luxury of owning this business and setting all the standards of quality and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, my clients come to me because of sort of the quality standard of the parts that I put out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's affecting me. Honestly, one of the things about what I do, I put in really, really long hours.
Yeah.
And I tend to use marijuana later on in the evening when I'm running night shifts and I've just got to clock those hours.
Yeah.
So it's definitely that, that kind of thing. I mean, it's hard to sort of stand on in one set of shoes or the other set of shoes and firmly just stick to one set of beliefs because I can always see the other sides. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, people that are probably going to be listening to this, other machinists maybe that are out there and they're like, never use marijuana. They're probably like, is this guy crazy?
Yeah.
What? He's like, right, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, if we're talking about alcohol, I might be describing, hey, well, you know what? Over the course of an 8-hour shift, I had a beer, And I also stopped and had like a meal, you know?
Right.
So it's just that kind of thing. It's not like I'm stoned out of my mind.
Right. So I want to talk about two more things. And the first one is your parents. You brought it up earlier on. I know your parents fairly well. I know the differences between your mom and your dad. But
that'll be funny for any of my friends listening for them to hear you say that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know how old you were when they knew that you were doing it. But they obviously know it's a part of your life now. Has it caused rifts, or has it brought, like, how has that been?
Well, I think I hid it from them through most of my 20s. And then as you know, you get to your 30s and you kind of get a little bit older and you're like, you just sort of start telling you. I remember going through a phase of telling my parents all these things that, things that I got away with and never got caught doing.
Yeah, right. You do that when you get older.
One time when
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it's caused a riff. I mean, let's start with my mom.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, she doesn't like it. She wishes I didn't use it, but I think over the years she's come to realize that really it doesn't really have a negative effect on me. I mean, I talk to her, to my parents, almost daily on FaceTime. They're in Halifax and I'm out in BC. So we talked to them a lot, especially because we've got kids.
Yeah.
And I told my mom, you know, I was like, hey, did you even realize, like, when I spoke to you last week, I had a puff, but, you know, you can't tell. And I think she's just got, she's accepted it, even though she doesn't like it.
Sure, yeah.
With my dad, there's kind of been this joke. Every time they come out, my dad's sort of joking, saying, ah, maybe I'll have a puff with you this time.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it was, my dad used to be in the military, and he would joke about it before he got out. And, out of respect for his career and stuff, I knew he would never do that while he was in the military, but he's been retired for a few years. We still haven't sat down and had a puff together, but I've actually got my dad out here right now working with me because things are quite busy. And, I've been sick over the last few days, and my dad, you know, he said to me, just yesterday, he's like, Dan, you don't look very good. He's like, take a break, go have a toke, you'll feel better, and get back to work.
He's level
and it's
with
because,
you.
You know, I told my dad whenever I get sick, especially with nausea, I find pot really helps with that. So I'll have a puff, and just that nausea goes away, and you can sort of carry on with your day and not feel so sick. So he's much more open-minded to it.
There's a lot of discussion about that now, the whole, you know, the medicinal side of things, which I don't think everyone truly understands or knows what to believe yet. You found it helpful for something like that.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just kidding. I've got four young kids. They're all in public school. So sick is in the house. It just goes around. So, you know, most of my adult life before I had kids, I never got sick. And now I find I've got a cold every, you know, two or three times a year.
Yeah.
And I've just picked up on it. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right. Have a little puff, and it just makes that nausea go away.
Oh, good. Now, so four kids, crazy and awesome, I guess, at the same time.
A little bit crazy.
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking back to, like, us ripping around Germany on BMX bikes going, man, think about when you have four kids, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
So talk to me about, what do you think about that in relation to your kids? So this is kind of the last two things I want to kind of touch on before we can talk later. So your kids in your family, and you're a user, and then the idea of it becoming legal, and both your thoughts on that and how you think you'll manage that with your own kids.
I'm still kind of figuring that out. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I wasn't really paying attention to the whole legalization thing that much until I picked up on your podcast.
You're welcome.
Because thank you. But it's been part of my life, you know, daily for years. So it's just, you know, in my mind, I'm like, illegal? That's just so silly. Right. I don't even consider it illegal, really. But now I'm starting to have these thoughts. I'm like, oh, okay. So in the old way, you know, marijuana was illegal. You'd have to go through this thing with your kids and teach them, like, you know, I'm kind of lost on it, honestly. And I've listened to your previous podcast and heard you talk a little bit about how you kind of navigated through stuff with your kid. I don't want to get into your personal stuff too much, but I would have thought there were in the old method, I would have had to sort of describe, yeah, daddy does something that is illegal, but I don't think it's that bad. And, you know, sort of take that method.
Yeah.
With it. Now that it's changed, I think all that sort of goes away. It's like you just at a certain point, you tell your kids, okay, you're going to be presented with alcohol. It's legal. You have to use it responsibly. I think the same sort of thing is going to come up with pot. But you know what? The topic of your last podcast really threw me. The whole topic of mental health, patients and all that stuff. That really opened my eyes. I was like, wow, I wasn't aware of that situation.
Yeah.
So it's funny. I'm still figuring that out. Honestly, you know, my daughter's 9 and she's growing up quick. We're going to be running into these things in the next few years.
Well, you know, it's funny. You may have heard it, but when we were talking, I was talking with a previous guest who was suggesting that, you know, you got to start talking to kids at like 6, 7, 8 years old now. And so that would mean that right now you've got to be having this conversation with your oldest.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's, I think in general, I'm the kind of parent who just wants my children to stay kids. I just really cherish their innocence and their childhood.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't want you to grow up, right?
Yes.
So I'm kind of fighting that. I'm like, we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that yet.
Yeah. See, I'm the same way, man. This is the conversation that we had was the debate that I would have had would be like, okay, am I introducing this idea now or am I helping mitigate what could happen? And I mean, exactly, I don't know, but I mean, we're all trying to figure it out, right?
Well, you know what? I don't remember my parents ever talking to me about it.
Yeah, that's... There you go, Mom.
You know, I do remember one day randomly walking through the Market Street in Germany and walking with my dad. It was a sunny afternoon and he had the afternoon off and he just stopped for a second. He went and sniffed and he went, oh, that smells like marijuana. And I was like, what's that, Dad? Yeah. And that was kind of my first memory of ever kind of hearing about it.
Really?
Maybe just, you know, maybe somebody upstairs in an apartment was smoking or something and we smelled it walking by the street. But, my parents never had the drug talk with me.
Yeah. And I guess we don't know if that's good or bad, really, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, your previous guest saying you got to start talking about like age 6.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a little crazy for me
It seems crazy, but I mean, the thing that I'm learning and, you know, this is what motivated all these discussions was to try and learn more and get all these different perspectives. The thing that I'm learning is the more you learn, the better off you'll be. The more informed you are, the better equipped you are to make decisions. And that to me, that just seems to be the thing that is true no matter who or what perspective you're coming from. If you have information, you know, you can make decisions.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's kind of goes for almost everything in life. But very
true.
Good point. So, I mean, I think hopefully I'll remember that when I'm steering through this whole thing with my kids in the upcoming years.
Yeah.
But knowledge is good. I mean, I guess now I'll be able to tell my kids, you know, dad has been using it and, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so what do people who use alcohol daily tell their kids about alcohol?
Yeah,
you know?
It's funny. I mean, this is, you know, it's the constant comparison and you know,
totally.
There'll be all kinds of debates about whether or not it's a valid comparison, but I guess on some level it is, you know, for whatever reason, the alcohol thing just seems to be more socially acceptable. I still think we're dealing in a lot of ways with something that's super new to a lot of people. And because of that, there's all these unknowns, you know? So what do you think, Dennis, what do you think about legalization? What's your thoughts?
Moving forward, I think for a lot of people that are already using it, it's not really going to make much of a difference.
Right.
You know, people like me, I buy directly from friends of mine that grow. And, you know, even the thought of like buying branded marijuana, sort of like cigarettes at Shoppers Drug Mart or something, or in like a, you know, a provincially sanctioned, you know, like the same as you buy liquor, that still feels weird to me. For a lot of people, I think it's just going to be their eyes are going to get opened up, and a lot of people's attitudes are going to change in a positive way, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to be more accepting of it. I'm hoping the stereotypes will sort of slowly go away of all the negativity, all the typical ones, stupid stoner, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think people in general just become more accepting of it. But it'll be interesting, like anything, is there going to be a bunch of sort of the mental health side issue of mm-hmm. it coming out and creating a backlash against it and going, hey, let's watch out for this stuff. It's actually quite dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where that's going to come out, you know?
Oh, for sure that's going to happen. Yeah, for sure. And I think you know, there's an argument to be made that should be what happens. The trick will be how far it goes, I think. I remember watching, I've referenced this a lot. Because of all of this, I actually went back and started watching, learning more about prohibition as it relates to alcohol. And when prohibition was kind of put in place, the schools would talk to kids in grades like 5 and 6, 7, and they were telling them that alcohol was evil, and if you drink it, you're going to die. And like the absolute fear-mongering that they were doing to kids at the age that people are suggesting you should be talking to them about marijuana now. And they were doing that as a way to make people just abstain from it completely. I think, mm-hmm. I don't know where the thing will balance out. There's going to be discussions that come out about psychosis and marijuana's links to mental health issues and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not even disputing if any of those things are valid. To me, mm-hmm. it's just another perspective that needs to be considered in anyone's choice to try or use. And that's why I keep going back to this whole idea of like, just inform yourself. Know how to use safely if you're going to use. Know how to not use if it's bad for you, if it doesn't work for you, you know? And you know, even myself, to be very honest with you, the more I talk to people about this, I flip-flop from time to time. You know, some days I'm like, it's not such a bad thing. What's the big deal? And then other days, I'll talk to someone and we'll spend a lot of time talking about links to mental health issues. And I go, oh shit, this is not good at all. I got to believe, just personally, my belief is that somewhere in the middle probably lies the truth, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone does, to be honest.
It's this crazy sort of balancing act, and it's somewhere in the middle. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think one of the good things definitely is like your last episode, bringing out sort of that the aspects of the mental health side of things and the potential dangers. People do need to be educated about the pros and the cons of it.
Yeah, agreed.
I just sort of recommend people to move forward slowly and cautiously, ease into it. You know.
Low and slow is a phrase, right?
Don't eat a lot of really
low doses and go at a slow pace. Yeah,
exactly. You hear these stories about people eating really potent edibles and just losing their mind, and that's not fun.
Did you hear the story?
I mean,
there was a story a couple of days ago. I guess, maybe by the time this airs, it would be longer than that. But about a couple of cops that ate some edibles and had to call for backup.
I did. I actually listened to that. The footage of that. That was absolutely hilarious.
I don't know if I should find that funny, but I do.
Well, I just said it, and I do. I found it funny as a person who's used to the culture of marijuana.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, definitely. I mean, it must have been a very scary experience for them.
Good point.
You know. So I mean, I think what we've sort of been saying for the last 2 or 3 minutes is we see both sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was funny, but also not. I wouldn't hope for any of my friends to go through that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, listen, man, I'm gonna. Yeah. We could do this for hours, and you know what? Now that we've connected and had this chat, we got to keep talking. But look,
for sure,
we're gonna wrap it up. I'm gonna rake the leaves on this, and.
And, there you go.
I just want to thank you for hanging out with me for a while and chatting, and for reaching out when you heard the show. It's been great to chat with you, and let's keep it going, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. I've been looking forward to every new episode.
Cool.
Might be a little bit weird listening to myself, but hey.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, man. See you. Thank you.
Cool, man. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
So that was my friend, Dennis. And I got to admit, I'm sort of still processing that conversation. It's been a long time since we've had a chat, and I don't know that I would have imagined that would be the chat we'd have after such a long time. But here we are. You know, it was. I'd never heard some of that information before. I mean, I knew that he went through a bit of a tough time. I didn't really know why, so we'll be following up on some of that. But it's kind of fascinating to hear how the role that it played in his life, his ability to stop it and clarify in his own mind where he was at with it all and recognize his own attitudes towards it, yet still be kind of conflicted when it comes to someone else's use. And you know, you think about him becoming an employer and now having to hire somebody, and suddenly his position on everything changes. And maybe that's the way it's going to be going forward. You know, as we all get more used to this idea of it being legal, maybe our own opinions are going to change depending on the circumstance. You know, he's got the kids now that he has to talk to, and we're all going to be faced with that at some point, which maybe is a different perspective than the way you'd view it for your own use. It just continues to fascinate me, the varying ways that we can, the varying lenses that we can choose to look at this from. While I have a second, I want to say hi to his mom and dad. Hey, mom and dad. I hope you guys are all good with Dennis being a part of the show. It might not be the last time. And, you know, part of me did wonder afterwards, and I wish I had asked him if he had smoked prior to our conversation. And perhaps he's probably laughing now as he hears this, and maybe he'll send me a text to let me know. But I hope you enjoyed it. I thought that was very cool. It was a bit of a different take on the show, but I wanted to talk to him because it was such a big part of his life as a user, as someone who's dealt with it both positively and negatively. And hopefully you got something out of that. I know I did. So that was Dennis Selden. You're listening to Turning a New Leaf, produced by the Village Soundcast Network. And I'm your host, Sean King, and thanks for listening.
This was a Village Soundcast Network original production.
We're sorry. You have dialed a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
This is the best.
Please check the number you dialed and try your call again.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.